The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm not often knocked back on my heels, but whenever I get around my friend Oz Guinness, I confess, I know I hate to put Oz in that position, but Oz, I respect and love you so much that's how you make me feel. You've come out with a new book. It's a glorious idea. It's called The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith and the Future of Freedom. My dear friend Oz Guinness, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. Always a joy to be on with you.
Well, I have to say, I've learned so much from you over the years, which is an absolute fact, and you know it. And whenever I go anywhere, almost, I talk about the Golden Triangle of Freedom and mention your name because it's one of the greatest ideas I've ever encountered. And I remember when you first shared it with me, I thought, this sounds too good. This must be famous and I've just missed it. And you said, well, you know, you're typically humble and diffident in your British way. I guess it's such an extraordinary idea. You claim that the founders knew of the Golden Triangle of Freedom, but that's not really true, is it?
Well, I found it in all the founders. They had different ideas of faith, of course, and very different ideas of religion and public life. But when it came to sustaining freedom, I found that all of them agreed in different ways on this idea. Freedom requires virtue, and virtue requires faith, and faith requires freedom, and it goes round and round. And so on. I found that in all of them.
But what happened, though, Oz, is that you found it. They were not aware of the concept of the triangle. In other words, you're the one that coined the term the Golden Triangle of Freedom. And you're really the only one, as far as I know, that ever made that link, that freedom requires virtue, which requires faith, which requires freedom, which requires, it goes round and round. I don't think any of the founders even hinted at that relationship.
Well, I was wrestling with the fact, winning freedom, the revolution, okay. Ordering freedom, the brilliance of the Constitution, okay. But there's less thought about sustaining freedom, which, of course, is our challenge. And so certainly I came up with the idea, but it's there in them. I just put it together.
Yeah, all you did was put it together. No big deal. I can claim when you're not in the room, I can rave and rave about how you put it together because none of them ever put it together, Oz, nor did Abraham Lincoln. They all say such glorious, glorious things, but to raise it to the level of the idea of the Golden Triangle of Freedom that is how things are sustained, that is really, it crystallizes. It doesn't really crystallize as an idea until you bring it into that term and then the idea of it. It's just so central and obvious. I put it at the center of my book, If You Can Keep It, and it's at the center of your book, A Free People's Suicide. How many books back is A Free People's Suicide? I mean, is this your third book since that or your second book since that, the new one?
No, more than that. But this new one is the third in the series on American freedom. So Last Call for Liberty was the second, and Magna Carta of Humanity is the third. And it really explores how the genius of the American Revolution goes back to the Hebrew scriptures, the Torah, and above all to the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy. The book is actually dedicated to Rabbi Sacks. And I sent him a very early copy of it and told him I was doing it. And he sent me the most charming email about silencing a rabbi. But very sadly, as you know, he was diagnosed with cancer last October, and within a month, he'd gone. So he never lived to see the final book. But it's dedicated to him, and it unpacks the richness of his great teaching from the Torah on the Hebrew Republic?
Well, this is something that, again, I can't claim to know much about. It's only something that I've been learning about rather recently. And that to me is always the scandal when I realize these fundamental things have been lost to history effectively, and that they have to be resurrected by you and Rabbi Sacks. It's an extraordinary thing to me. I just always first have to marvel and be horrified that most people aren't familiar with this. And then I have to put that aside and say, okay, let's get familiar with it. So the first book is A Free People's Suicide. The second book is Last Call for Liberty. The one we're talking about now is Magna Carta of Humanity. So just unpack this for those of us who know almost nothing about it.
Well, back up a bit. You know, you're in the hurly-burly of the press and the media. I'm living in Washington. Many people are just putting out fires. They see a scandal, a crisis, a outrage, or whatever it is, and they respond to that. And daily, it's sort of firefighting. And so people miss the wood looking only at the trees. And you have to have history. You know, St. Augustine said, to understand a nation, you look at what it loves supremely. And for me, there's no question that America's supreme love, which means you can use it to understand where America is at any moment, is freedom. And freedom comes through the Reformation and the rediscovery of printing and so on from the Hebrew scriptures. And you know, in the universities today, they tell us, I'm sure you were told at Yale, that freedom and toleration came from the Continental Enlightenment. Rubbish. You know, scholars like Eric Nelson at Harvard or Michael Walzer at Princeton point out the 17th century was called the biblical century. And they were fascinated, even Thomas Hobbes, an atheist, with the so-called Hebrew Republic. Because you have the arrival of covenantalism, which became constitutionalism. And Americans need to understand where their revolution came from. Because the tragedy today is we're switching from the American Revolution to the heirs of the French Revolution. And that switch is disastrous.
Well, it's hard not to be angry when I think of, you know, the money that people are spending at places like Yale, and not only getting something that's subpar, getting a version of history that is, in fact, genuinely erroneous. It is absolutely untrue. But this is what they're peddling. This is what they're teaching. The leaders of the nation and the culture have taken this in, and it falls to us to try to undo some of this damage. But the stakes are very high.
No, absolutely. But when you say it's erroneous, you're right. But it's not as if someone's made an accidental error or left out something by mistake. No, it is quite intentional and deliberate. It's the result of the so-called Long March. And in my book, I analyze from Antonio Gramsci in the 20s, the Frankfurt School, Herbert Marcuse, and then the end of the 60s, the call for the Long March. And as you know, they knew they couldn't win in the streets. You know, I think I told you before, I first came here in 68, 6 weeks. I met Mario Savio, who led the free speech movement at Berkeley, listened Grace Slick and the Jefferson Airplane and concerts at the Fillmore West and so on. But with all the radicalism of that year, far more than last year, you know, Martin Luther King assassinated, Bobby Kennedy assassinated, 100 cities ablaze. But they knew they couldn't win in the streets, so they called for the Long March through the institutions.
Who coined that term?
Well, it's Marcuse and Rudi Deutschke in the Red Brigade in Germany. Going back, of course, to Mao Zedong's Long March in China, but doing it culturally here. In other words, you have to win the colleges and universities, the press and the media, and the world of what they called then the culture industry, Hollywood and entertainment. Sweep around and you win the whole culture. So we think of things like, well, this year, critical race studies has come up, or earlier, the cancel culture and so on. But they are all the fruit of the Long March and the triumph of cultural Marxism or neo-Marxism. And people need to understand it. Because while people are facing individual this, that, and the other, schools and so on, no national leader setting out how this has happened and what it means. And that's what I'm calling for. And you know, I'm a foreign admirer of this country. I love it. And well, I love your great experiment.
We've got the rest of this hour to unpack this. Folks, it couldn't be more important. If you like to read, Magna Carta of Humanity is the new book, the third in the series, Magna Carta of Humanity by Oz Guinness. We'll be right back.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to our dear friend, Oz Guinness. Oz, you're not an American citizen, but you're more American than most American citizens. You understand America. You've written these three books, A Free People's Suicide, Last Call for Liberty, and now brand new, Magna Carta of Humanity. Tell us, your thesis is that the covenantal idea that we get from the Old Testament of a covenant with God being the basis of America. Most people are entirely ignorant of that, and I am mostly ignorant of that. So tell us, where did this start? Was it 1620? When did this idea begin?
Well, Larry, before we do that, can I just say why it's some ways easier as a foreign observer to see things? You know, Kipling used to say, "What knows he of England? Who only England knows." And many Americans know America so well, they simply don't know it. So you come from the outside and you see things by force of contrast very vividly. And this book, again, let me go a little wider. This book I begin when I was 7 years old, January 1949. My dad said to me, "Son, we're in trouble. Chiang Kai-shek has just abandoned the city." We were living in China's capital, and we're at the mercy of the Red Army. So I saw 2 years under the Reign of Terror. My own dad denounced, tried. Fortunately, they couldn't find enough evidence. But many people tried, executed by the thousands all around us. So I remember that. But that was important because many years later, I was at Oxford. And I had dinner with Sir Isaiah Berlin at All Souls College. And we discovered that he'd been a seven-year-old in the Russian Revolution in St. Petersburg, as I'd been a seven-year-old in the Chinese Revolution. And as we compared notes, we were glad that the English-speaking world stood so firmly against communism. But it was unthinkable then, this was the 1970s, that America would fall for anything to do with Marxism in any way. So it's staggering today to see how cultural Marxism has overcome so much. But let me, do you want me to come to your question? Your question
well,
is an important one.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When the church was declared the official religion of the Roman Empire, it copied, for better or worse, Roman structures. And they were hierarchical. The Caesar, the consuls, the senators, and so on. And the church had a pope and cardinals and bishops and so on. But you know, it was Lord Acton, a Catholic layman, who made the famous remark that all power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. In other words, hierarchical governments corrupt themselves. When the Reformation came, not at first through Luther, but through Calvin and then Zwingli and then Bullinger, and in Scotland, John Knox, and in England, Oliver Cromwell, they went back not to Roman structures, but to the Bible. And in Exodus, the genius politically is covenant. And so that came into the thinking and into the politics. Cromwell says it's the direct parallel to what they were trying to do in the English Revolution. It failed. In England, it's called the lost cause. But what was the lost cause in England became the winning cause in New England. So it came across the Mayflower Compact is a covenant. John Winthrop on the Arbella spoke of a covenant. When John Adams wrote the first constitution of Massachusetts, he called it a covenant. Now, what was it about the Old Testament covenant? Well, you had three features which put their stamp. First, freely chosen consent. Three times it says in Exodus, all that the Lord says, we will do. Michael Walzer calls that the almost democracy. Freely chosen consent. That's where the consent of the governed comes from. Or the second idea, a morally binding pledge. The covenant is wide and lasting. It covers business and sex and relationships of all sorts. It's not narrow like a contract. And the third thing was the reciprocal responsibility of everyone for everyone. Every Jew responsible for every Jew, as the rabbis put it, or later the three musketeers, one for all and all for one. Now, you can immediately see it all depends on words and commitments and promise-keeping. And that's the difference today. People don't want to be bound by what they said yesterday, let alone what they said 200-odd years ago, and so on. And you can see that covenantalism is behind We the People and the U.S. Constitution.
It's amazing to me. Again, I'm like a broken record, but I always have to step back and say the most amazing thing of all is that we don't know this, that most people don't know this. It's so fundamental that it's frightening to me to think that most Americans are unaware of this. And so we have to say it over and over and louder, because without this as a foundation, we fall. We are in fact falling now. And that is the way it goes. Unless we, the people, understand these things and live them out in our lives, it just goes away. And let's be honest, most people knew these things on one level or another, even if it was mainly intuitively or if it was just part of the cultural atmosphere. But that began to go away in the 60s. So we've had 50 years where we haven't been underscoring these ideas or even mentioning these ideas very much. I mean, roughly speaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, let's put the simple principle behind it. Rabbi Sacks says this brilliantly. If you have any project at all that lasts more than one generation, you have to have history and you have to have schooling. So again, the rabbis point out, what on earth did Moses talk about the night of the Passover? They're going free. He never mentions freedom. They're going to the promised land of milk and honey. He never mentions the promised land. Three times he talks about children. In other words, the story we tell to our children and pass on is the key to two important things. One, identity, who we know we are. And two, very obviously, continuity. And you call that transmission. But as you said, in the 60s, I mean, that used to be covered in the public schools. And that was behind the whole wonderful American motto, a pluribus unum. So history was a key part of the unum. And of course, it was thrown out. It was considered coercive by the multiculturalists and so on. And then it was replaced, this is even worse, by the Howard Zinn view of history and more recently by the 1619 Project. So Americans are suffering from what our English poet Ted Hughes called dementia, cultural dementia. They have no sense of history, no sense of the past, no sense of identity and continuity. The American Republic, let me be clear, not America. America can continue a long time, a powerful, prosperous, technologically sophisticated world power. But the Republic, that brilliant experiment in ordered freedom, that is what is on its last legs. And you can see the intellectuals of America, the intelligentsia of America, are literally, they have got their knee on the neck of the Republic, just as we saw, sadly, not so long ago, happened in Minneapolis to an unfortunate gentleman.
Well, I was going to say, Oz, that, you know, when we talk about the intelligentsia, I think of people like David Brooks or even Ross Douthat at the New York Times. They have acted as though Trump were the greatest threat to American democracy, and have given very little attention to the danger of cultural Marxism. That, to me, is the headline. In other words, it's one thing if you say, I don't like this about Trump, or I don't like this about so-and-so. That's fine. But if you're in a war for the Republic, and you understand that these things are all going away, you have to get serious. You have to focus. Most of these people act as though we're not at all in a war for liberty. The cultural Marxists, that's just, some people like to talk about it, but it's not a big threat. Why do you suppose that people that we would think of as our intellectual colleagues somehow, that they don't see the danger that you see?
Well, I'm not going to attack those particular individuals. David is a friend of mine here in Washington, and I know Ross.
All the more reason that I bring them up, because these are people that we think of as allies.
But generally, people are not looking at the wood for the trees. They only see the trees of this, that, or the other, and not looking at the big picture. And I just challenge people. It's the big picture that gives the meaning of the moment. So the Western world is profoundly in crisis. That's another whole story. But here we are, with the West leads society more divided and in a deeper crisis than at any moment since just before the Civil War. So there are too many of our thinkers who simply are not looking at the big picture.
Well, course, I guess that's why I bring it up. We're going to go to a break here. But that is why I bring up David Brooks, because those are the people I'm most astonished by, that they don't seem to see the crisis. And they say that those who are talking about a crisis are conspiracy theorists, and we have to just bat them away and everything will be fine. I wish it were. We'll be right back talking to Oz Guinness. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog, and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their healthcare, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true healthcare, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Folks, the book is The Magna Carta of Humanity by our friend Oz Guinness. Oz, before your book, which is brand new, Magna Carta of Humanity, it's the third in the series, Free People, Suicide, Last Call for Liberty, and now this one. Other than Magna Carta for Humanity, where would we look to find an explanation of this idea? How far back do we have to go?
Well, this year, for example, you've got Leon Kass, who was such a wonderful influence in George W. Bush's administration. He's got a magnificent new book out, Leon Kass. I think it's called The Founding of God's People, which is his commentary. He had another commentary on Genesis. It's his commentary on Exodus. It's extremely good. But I owe more to Rabbi Sacks. And if you take his commentaries in the Torah, which are just magnificent. They're called Covenant and Conversation, and then each of the five, the one on Exodus is the best on what we're talking about. It's called Covenant and Conversation, Exodus, the Book of Redemption. It is brilliant on the way Exodus puts out this idea of covenant, freedom, justice, and so on and so on.
It's still amazing to me. I don't know if I'll ever get over it, that these ideas are so fundamental. You really cannot, you cannot overstate how fundamental they are to most that we hold dear. And most of us are generally ignorant of it. I mean, when people talk about, well, we've got to separate politics and religion, and you realize that is not only silly, it is profoundly wrong. It is utterly wrong that the very ideas we get in politics, in government, come from the Hebrew scriptures. And then to think that these Hebrew scriptures, my goodness, we're talking about things that are 35 centuries old, long before the Trojan War, these ideas came into the world. I mean, that is amazing to me.
But again, Eric, I love the fact you have thinkers on your program, which not every program does. But put it in terms that Reinhold Niebuhr used to stress. The bookends of history are authoritarianism and anarchy. In other words, order and no freedom, or freedom and no order. And you have both of those in Genesis 1 to 11. But the genius of Exodus, the founding of the Jewish people, and then picked up by America, the founding of the great experiment in freedom, as Washington called it. Its genius is that between those extremes, it's ordered freedom, constitutional or covenantal freedom. And you can see the difference, say, with modern views. So Lord Acton's idea, freedom is not the permission to do what you like. It's the power to do what you ought. It's not only negative freedom from, as Isaiah Berlin would say, it's positive freedom, freedom for, to be. You've got to know who we're supposed to be. So the genius of this country, Madison and others unwrapping it, is incredible. And to me, understanding history, understanding the global world today, China, for instance, is the essence of authoritarianism, that Americans could either squander carelessly or suppress deliberately their ordered freedom is to me a tragedy almost beyond words. So sometimes I could almost weep when I watch what's happening. Sometimes, as my dear wife Jenny knows, I'm angry. It is outrageous that Americans in this generation should squander this great heritage.
Well, isn't it though, Oz, because, you know, I mentioned a number of names earlier, that good people are doing nothing or are looking at the wrong things. In other words, that if you realize that we're in a war for liberty and that it's all going to go away, that the cultural Marxists will triumph unless we understand what is at stake and get serious about it. But I really feel that part of the tragedy of where we are is that cultural elites who normally we would think of as allies don't see any urgency. They think the urgency is getting rid of Trump because his personality, they say, is authoritarian, or he has fascist tendencies. I have fascist tendencies. The question is not who has fascist tendencies. The question is who is behaving as a fascist. And they really don't seem to be willing. I guess it will take cultural courage to say, I don't like certain things about him, but Trump gets this. He's pushing back against this. People, I think that maybe because they're afraid of losing friends or not being invited to certain parties, they're simply unwilling to see what's at stake.
Eric, you know the old maxim of Max Dupree about leadership. The first duty of a leader is to define reality. In other words, leaders should be strategic. And as you know, as a Greek, the word strategos is the word for general. The leader should have that general-like hawk's eye view of reality. And the trouble is today, we don't have that. So again, I say it's putting out fires constantly and commenting on yesterday's scandal or yesterday's outrage or whatever. Whereas a Lincoln, you read his speeches, or I, as a boy, used to listen to my hero, Churchill. Incredible grasp of history and of the present situation. And that's what's missing. So Lincoln addresses the evils, slavery, But in the light of the Declaration, and in the light of what he called the better angel of American nature, and then he called for a new birth of freedom in the light of all that. That's what's missing today. And I keep saying to the congressmen I know, I was speaking to a group of them a couple of weeks ago, and to the senators I know, which of you will be Lincoln?
Let's just hit pause there, Oz. Forgive me. I want you to continue that thought. We'll be right back, folks. We're talking to Oz Guinness. The book is Magna Carta of Humanity. Folks, we're talking to our friend Oz Guinness. The book is Magna Carta of Humanity. Oz, I've heard you say this many times. Who will be our Lincoln? I don't see anyone on the horizon just yet. I don't know. I think that there is something Churchillian that I saw in Trump. I know that he was not Churchill's equal. He is not Churchill's equal intellectually, but we need a fighter. And I'm just astonished at many. I mentioned names earlier. I could mention Mike Pence or others who I think so well of, but I don't think that they understood what is at stake somehow.
Very few do, in my opinion. But Eric, let me bring where I end my book. Here we are in 2021. I would summarize the challenge to America in three words. Revolution? Question mark. Oligarchy? Question mark. Homecoming, question mark. Revolution's obvious. All that we mean by the threat of the radical left, cultural Marxism. And I would say from the bottom of my heart, please God, no. I've seen it in my own life in China and the thousands and later millions who were killed. Please God, no. Revolution has never worked. And the oppression never ends. Let's be clear about that. No starry-eyed nonsense of people are drinking the Kool-Aid. How about oligarchy? With traditional liberalism hollowed out, what we've seen is a huge consolidation of politics, bureaucracy, the media, entertainment, woke business, and all these things creating an oligarchy. And the gap between the ruled and the rulers and the world of the elites and the best and brightest is appalling. America is closer to your Greek-style oligarchy than to a democracy. And we better see that very clearly. And then, of course, the third one, which is the one I'd support, homecoming. As you know, the Greek word metanoia means an about turn of heart, mind, and spirit. But the Hebrew word teshuvah adds another dimension. In other words, to go wrong is to be alienated and to find yourself eventually in exile. And to sort of come back through turning around is homecoming. America needs to come home to the best of its first principles.
Well, as usual, that's really well put and very hopeful. I guess, Oz, this book, Magna Carta of Humanity, I wish that homeschoolers, seniors in high school would read these books, would be forced to read these books and struggle with what's in them. Because if we don't teach these ideas to our kids, all is lost. But right now, if we don't turn around now, in other words, I don't think we have 10 years. I think that we're in such a crisis that we really have to do something immediately. And I don't know. I've never seen, listen, so many evangelicals that you and I would consider friends, they're in bed with the woke madness. They have leaned in that direction. They don't seem to have the intellectual ballast to understand what is happening. So it's a strange time right now where people, whether outspoken conservatives or outspoken evangelicals, even they not only don't get it, but seem to be leaning in the wrong direction.
Well, many of them have no sense of history and no attempt at the big picture. You know, this is one place where Nietzsche, with whom we disagree at many, many points, was right. He said, to understand ideas, you need to know their genealogy, their family tree, where they come from. So both the sexual revolution and cultural Marxism come from the same place. I mean, quite literally, the Palais Royal in Paris, where many of these ideas came from. They are the heirs of the French Revolution. And many of our evangelical friends are incredibly naive because they're historically short-sighted. I've been on Zooms this last year with pastors, above all from the West Coast, and I said to them, quite frankly, you've drunk the Kool-Aid. In other words, they heard the word justice, take, say, George Floyd, and they jumped to their feet and saluted. Justice must be biblical. Incredibly naive. Yes, followers of Jesus and Jews and all who love the prophets and so on, we are outraged by injustice. We agree there is injustice, sin, evil, wrong, flagrant injustice, but vast differences in how you address it. And the cultural Marxist radical left way is only power, and it makes the problem worse, not better. And the Jewish and Christian way, repentance, confession, forgiveness, unpack those words, is a way where you have the enemies becoming friends and genuine restoration and removal of the evils. So those who are naive about this today are really incredibly stupid and short-sighted and unfaithful.
Well, even in saying incredibly stupid, you're being gracious, because I have to tell you, Oz, what I see, and I'm horrified to see it, it's the same spirit that you saw in Germany in the 30s, where good people didn't want to be troubled over much. They wanted to go with the flow rather than understand, I have to say no. And they went with the flow. And I see many evangelicals today going with the flow, because to them, it's much worse to say, oh, I voted for Trump or something like that. That to them is unthinkable. People will wrinkle their eyebrows at them. They would much rather just go with the flow and support culturally Marxist organizations like BLM. That to me, it's an issue of, it's a lack of courage. It's a lack of understanding, but principally it's a lack of courage, because it does take some courage to say, I don't care what the results are, what people think, this is right. That to me is what's lacking in a lot of leading pastors.
I couldn't agree with you more. When I say stupid, I mean foolish. And of course, folly is very close to the idea of danger. So, you know, my wife has said to me for 10 years, what must it have been like in the 1930s in Germany and so on? So, and take an example. I talk widely in Christian circles as well as others. But people say to me, well, the early church didn't really get involved. And I think that's an incredibly foolish idea.
Actually, we've got to pause there, because that is a big idea. And I'm very glad you brought that up. Folks, we're talking to Oz Guinness. When we come back, we'll continue talking about Magna Carta of Humanity, the new book, and the early church. Don't go away. Folks, I hope you're enjoying the show, because I have to tell you, I'm enjoying it. We get the best guests. I am just in awe sometimes that we have the privilege of talking to people, whether it's Oz Guinness or John Zmirak, or we have a lot of wonderful guests. We should mention Albin, our new sponsor, Nutramedics. Everybody knows to go to MyPillow.com and to use the code Eric. People already know that.
Yeah, but yes, they do.
Some people don't know that Nutramedics.com is our new sponsor. These guys are amazing. We taped an interview with the founder of Nutramedics, which we're going to put on YouTube soon, because I've never encountered a company like this. I mean, it's one thing to talk about the products they offer, which are spectacular products, but the company is amazing. They give 50% of their profits to missions. They care about people in the developing world. They care about sharing the good news. It's kind of amazing. I take all kinds of their stuff now. I'm new to this, but what do we, they've got a couple of kits, because a lot of their stuff, as you'll know when we air the interview, it has to do with the immune system, strengthening your immune system, how we don't get things. Most of us don't get the nutrients, the minerals that we need in the food that we have. And why is another issue. We'll talk about that in the future with the founder of Nutramedics. But do they offer an, Alvin, maybe you have the information.
They have an energy kit, which I need because I need more energy. I mean, I'm not animated enough. I get emails, people saying like, why don't you wake up, Alvin?
Wake up, have a cup of coffee, something.
Or take the energy kit from Nutramedics and use the code ERIC for 20% off. There's an immune kit, okay, for your immune system. And there's also one for sleep. I love this because if you have a lot of energy and you need to sleep and rest at night, you could get the sleep kit. So they've got all these really wonderful kits and you use the code ERIC, you get 20% off and you're ready to go. My favorite too, by the way, and this is a simple one. Everybody likes vitamin D. I mean, we were bike riding. My wife and I do this every weekend, but we don't get enough sun because there's a lot of shade on the North County Trail. But we love taking D3 and it comes with the K2. You got to take the D with the K. And of course, Nutramedics has them both together. So you got to get the D3 and DK. And the supplements are just unbelievable.
I really want to say too, it's not like we're pitchmen or something. We believe in these products. Yes. I mean, the more I find out, the more I'm amazed at Nutramedics. But I do have to say, I take this stuff. But what makes me really happy is that the founder of the organization and the organization is dedicated to doing things that we believe in. I talk about this all the time. We have to support companies and we have to not support companies based on where they're coming from. I say that I will never drink another Coke product, never purchase another Coke product, Nike shoes. I think we have to understand we have the power of the purse and we really need to try to reward companies that are on the right side of moral issues. So if you're profiting from slave labor, as LeBron James's NBA or LeBron James's Nike is doing, I think we have to take a moral stand and say, listen, folks, until you change that, we're never going to support you. We're never going to wear a Nike shoe. Similarly, companies, whether it's Mike Lindell's MyPillow, My Store, or Nutramedics, you have to support them because they're doing their best to give to or to support things that we do believe in.
Yes.
You can't be a fanatic about this. You know, it's not easy to do this all the time, but I do think it's important. So we want to tell you to go to Nutramedics.com. And look, I can guarantee you these are fantastic products. Yes. This is not something I would ever say unless I really meant it and knew what I was talking about. But equally important, they do great things. They use 50% of their profits to support missions in the third world. It's just tremendous stuff. Oh, we're out of time. We'll be right back with another amazing guest. Stick around.